The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, Perichov Beis Posichov, the Torah tells us, V'ger leiseine v'leisil chotzenu. A ger, a convert, you shall not. Sone means to harm him with words, the word ona. You should not insult him, you should not shame him, embarrass him, and so forth. V'leisil chotzenu, sil chotzenu means to afflict him. Rashi learns here, affliction means gzeilus momen. You shall not steal from him. Kigirim heisim v'eres misroim, because you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. Kol almona v'yosam leisanun. A widow or an orphan, you shall not harm. Again, the word sanun is from the word to harm them with words, insult them or shame them, make things difficult for them. Imane sa'ane aysoi, if you shall do this, ki imtsoik itzak elai, then they will cry to me, shomoyesh matzakosoi, and I will listen to their cries. V'chora api, and I will become angry, v'harakti eschem bechorev, and I shall kill you with the sword. V'hoyu nisheichem almonais uvenechem yisomim, and your wives shall be widows, and your children shall be orphans. A little further in the parsha, in Perichov Gimel Posuk Tes, it states again, V'ger leisilchotz, you shall not afflict the convert, the stranger. V'atem yodatem es nefesh ha-ger ki gerim ha-isim v'eres Mizrayim. Because you know the spirit of a convert, ki you also were strangers in the land of Egypt. So you know that the spirit of the convert is downtrodden. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, Bava Metzia Perek Hazov, Daf Nun Tes, Seif Omed Beis, the Gemara says, Tanya Reb Lezer Agor Leimer. Reb Lezer Agor says, Bipnei ma hiziru teire belamed vov mekemes. Amri lo bemem vov mekemes begir. That we find that the Torah has cautioned us in 36 places, and others say in 46 places, how we must be careful when we deal with the ger, with the convert. And then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbonin, the rabbis taught, Ama'anes ager, evi b'shleish lavin, that someone who afflicts the ger, so he transgresses three negative commandments. Now that's if he afflicts him with words. V'halechatzei, and if he afflicts him with actions, now Rashi and Chumash learned this refers to stealing from him. Here Rashi learns, it also includes that if he owes you money, if you press him for it, if you unduly press him for it. Eve bishlei shalabin. That the Gemara comes to a conclusion that if you afflict him with words, you transgress three different negative commandments, and if you afflict him with actions, you transgress another three different negative commandments. Two negative commandments in each of those categories, which is explicit to the ger, and then the third negative commandment in each of those categories is because he's Bechlal HaMisechor, he's also a Yisrael. And just like if you afflict another Yisrael with words, you transgress a negative commandment where it says Leisenu, that Leisenoi, that Seinu, that you're not allowed to afflict him with words. Or if you press, if you steal from a Jew, or you press him for his money, you transgress other negative commandments, Leisigais. So therefore, with a ger, there would be three in each category. two especially, specifically because he's a ger, and the third one because he's Bechlal Yisrael, he would be the same as afflicting any other Jew. In addition to this, in addition to what we've just mentioned, that we find in the Torah, in Parshas Ekev, Devarim Yud Pasuk Yutes, that the Torah tells us, "Be'ahavtem es hager," you shall love the ger. Ki gerim yisim be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were converts in Egypt, you were strangers. This is a positive commandment of avas hager, that you must have love for the ger. Besides the positive commandment, that we're obligated to have love for our fellow Jew. So this would mean that if someone, that we are commanded twice to have love for the ger, because one mitzvah he's specifically a ger, and a second mitzvah he's Bechlal Yisrael, he's included in Yisrael, and someone who does something to hurt him then would be transgressing these two positive commandments. Rambam brings this mitzvah asay, this positive commandment, in Hilchos Deos Perek Vov Halacha Dalet, where he writes, "Avas Ager Shebo V'Nichnas Tachas Kanfei Hashchina." Shtei mitzvah asay. This, that we're obligated to love a ger who has come to take refuge under the wings of the Shechina V'Akodesh Baruch Hu, is two mitzvahs. Achas Mibnei Shehu Bechlal Reim. One mitzvah because he's included in the mitzvah which obligates us to love a fellow Jew. Shnemar v'afta seshem, excuse me, shehu bichlal reim v'achas mibnei shehu ger. And one mitzvah is because specifically the Torah commanded us in regards to a ger. Ba'atayra omra v'afta mes ager. And the Torah said you shall love the ger. Tziva al aves ager k'meshet tziva al aves atzmei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to love the ger just like he commanded us to love him, to love Hashem. As it states, V'aftes Hashem alekecho, with the same expression that we are obligated to love Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu atzma eiv gerim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself loves the ger, shenemar v'eiv ger. That Hashem says he also has a particular love for the ger, for the convert. And this is besides the negative commandments which we mentioned that the Rambam brings in other places. So this is in regards to the posuk in our parsha of how we're supposed to have special treatment to a ger, to the stranger, to the convert. Also, we quoted the psukim that we have to deal with a yosem be'almona, an orphan or a widow, also in a special manner, as it states in our posuk. It states, "Kol almona v'yosem leisa anun." Now, here also, these are specific mitzvahs that refer to the widow and the orphan. And if someone would afflict a widow or an orphan, so then he will transgress these negative, this negative commandment of kol almona v'yosem leisa anun, that you shall not afflict the widow or the orphan, in addition to the negative commandments of afflicting any other Jew, which we mentioned before. the punishment, the Torah tells us, is very severe. As we read, Bechora api, if they will cry to me, I will become angry. Barakti eschem bechorev, and I shall kill you with a sword. V'hoyu nishechem almones v'neichem yisomim. And there your wives will be widows and your sons will be orphans. Now it's even more severe than it appears to the eye. Rashi brings that if Hashem says that he will kill you with the sword, so then I know that your wives will be widows and your sons will be orphans. So why does the Torah have to spell this out for us? So he brings from the Chazal, the sages, the Darshan, that your wives will be widows forever and your sons will be orphans forever. This means that it would happen in such a way to the person who afflicts the widow and the orphan, it would happen in such a way, the punishment, that the husband would die, but it would not be able to, we would not be able to legally clarify his status of death. For example, he would go away and just never come back. And therefore his wife would be forbidden to remarry because we would not know if she's a widow. And this is what the Chazal referred to as almones chayis, a living widow, a widow whose husband could still be alive and she lives like that forever. And the same thing with the children. In such a case, the Beis Din, the courts do not allow the children to go into the estate to inherit because we don't know if the father is dead or not. So they remain in that stage of flux where they are orphans from one aspect because their father is not here, but at the same time they are do not have the advantage of at least enjoying the estate of their father. So this is what it means, that if they will cry out to me, then I will become angry and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives will become widows forever and your sons will be orphans forever. Now this is a very rare type of punishment. Rarely does the Torah or does Hashem use such a strong language. And from here we see how severe this mitzvah is. Here we see also the midah keneged midah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives both reward and retribution in accordance to what the person does exactly. It's actually a story that the son of the Chofetz Chaim, Zichrei Nilvrocho, writes on him, that there was once in the Chofetz Chaim city a widow who was greatly mistreated by another person. She didn't have any money and she was renting his house and she couldn't pay the rent. And he was deichek her, he pressed her and he pushed her. And finally he made life so difficult for her that she had no place to live. And nothing happened to this man. Evidently the Chofetz Chaim tried to intervene and he wasn't able to. And the Chofetz Chaim told his son that he watched this man for many, many years because he knew that something tragic would happen to this man, because it says explicitly in the Torah. And he always wondered when Hashem would take revenge. And he knew it would have to come because it's explicit in the Torah. And he waited many, many years. And then he told the son, until finally one day this man met an extremely tragic end. And he died in a very violent and tragic manner. Now, in many, many places we find that the Torah always takes this group and puts it together. The ger, the stranger, the yosef, the almona, the orphan, and the widow. And the reason for this is that even though there are different reasons by each one which brings them to their various situation, but the common denominator amongst them is that they are min ha'umlolim v'hashfeilim. They are downtrodden, and their spirit is very humble. The orphan, because he has no father to protect him or mother to protect him. The widow, because she has no husband. The ger, because he's a stranger. And therefore, they are known as umlolim, those who are downtrodden. And they are prone greatly to become broken-spirited and broken, and to remain with broken hearts. In addition to this, the ger, the convert, has another aspect that the Gemara mentions, because since he's new to the nation, if things are too difficult for him, he might turn around and leave and go back to where he came from. So therefore there's an additional aspect by the ger which gives us an additional responsibility to him. And therefore the Gemara and the Rambam in many places, when he refers to this category, he refers to them as the umlolim, the downtrodden. Accordingly, even if they have good fortune from one aspect, we are still commanded in these mitzvahs, because nevertheless they are still broken-spirited and downtrodden. The Gemara says, "Afilu almanas ashira," even a widow who's very wealthy. We might think she's very wealthy. What do we have to worry about her for? Or the Gemara says, "Afilu almanas shel melech," even the widow of a king, a queen. She's on top of the world. So what do we have to worry about her for? No. Because she's a widow, she's broken-spirited. Or, another example is a ger mikamaderis, the Gemara in the Peskin bring, that if someone is a convert already for many generations, so you might think that he doesn't have the legal status of a convert anymore. Because when someone is Megayer, converts, then he has the legal status of a convert. But his children already and his children's children are already born into Klal Yisrael. They did not convert. Nevertheless, they're still considered ger. Said that we must be careful how to speak to a ger ad kamadori for many, many generations, because he's still very sensitive that he is new to the nation. Or, if you have an orphan who is older already, still, as long as he's not entirely on his own and he needs someone to protect him, he has the status of an orphan. Or if someone is an orphan only from one parent, he has a father but not a mother, or a mother and not a father, he still has the legal status of an orphan in regards to these mitzvahs. And we might even be able to go further, that since the reason that the Torah commanded us specifically here is because they are min ha'umlolim v'hashfeilim, the downtrodden and the humble-spirited. So there's a possibility to say that these mitzvahs might apply to anyone in such a situation like that. That when anyone is in a situation of being downtrodden, for whatever reason it might be, we are commanded with extra mitzvahs and extra precautions how to deal with them. Now, the ramifications of this mitzvah is very broad. It covers a broad spectrum. For example, it covers the spectrum of how to deal with these people when you speak to them. You're not allowed to cause them aggravation or hurt or insult or embarrassment while you speak to them. If you do, this is the negative commandment of Leisanun, that you shall not harm them with your words. The way you talk to them must be in a different way. It must be with great rachmim, compassion, and with softness. Another ramification is in regards to loans. as we said, leshechatzenu means that if you lend them money, you're not allowed to press them for the money back. If they have the money and pay it, good, but you're not allowed to press them. And if you push them and press them, there's a negative commandment of leshechatzenu. Or the Torah explicitly gives us a special law in regards to mashkin leshachbal beger almana, that when we lend money, we can take security. There's limitations to the amount and the type of security, and when you can take it, if you're lending money to a widow. So it has ramifications in regards to loans. It has ramifications in regards to tzedakah, to giving charity. Charity is a mitzvah to kol Yisrael, to whoever is in need. But if there is a widow in need, or an orphan, or a ger, so then they would have a kedima, they would have a priority. Because besides being bechlal Yisrael, inclusive in Yisrael, that we are commanded, that you should open your hand to them, we are additionally commanded to treat these people differently. So therefore they would have a priority. Another example, another ramification would be in regards to dealing with their possessions. We are commanded to deal with possessions of Israel very carefully. That goes into the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, that you shall love your fellow man like yourself. You should deal with his possessions like you deal with your own. It goes into all of the parshas of shemrim, of trusteeship, and nezikin, damages. But we find in many places in Shas, in the Gemara, that we must take special care when we're dealing with money or possessions of the almona, yosem, and the ger. For example, the sages made many, many takonas. They enacted many decrees to give special privileges to the yosem and to the almona. The Gemara is always referred as bezdin avihem shel yosem. That the Bezdin, they must assume the responsibility of being the father of the orphans. When man dies, and an estate is left over for the orphans, Yisemin Ktanim, young children, who's going to look after it? There are all types of unscrupulous people, and they'll all come and try to take their share from it. There could be lawyers that might take big cuts from it, and there could be debtors that might come to cut it up. And there could be salesmen or businessmen that want to, especially if it's a big estate. If the father was alive, so he would keep an eye on it. But now who's going to keep the eye? So the Gemara says, Bezdin Aviyam Shel Yisrael. The Bezdin is obligated. And therefore they're obligated to be Maimer Apotropos. They have to appoint trustees. And they have to freeze the entire estate. To freeze the entire estate where even people that money is owed to cannot collect right away. Freeze the entire estate, put it in the hands of a trusteeship, and then this trustee that's appointed by the courts, by the Bezdin, he must judge very carefully what to do, and there are many things he's not allowed to do until the children grow up and can make their own decision. We have the takona and gave him iniksi semel bishfua, that if a man comes and can prove that money was owed to him, usually he can collect, but when it came to the Yisomim, he had to take an oath, or sometimes he couldn't collect at all until they grew older and so forth. There are many such decrees, and the same thing by the almona, by the widow. So we see that there's an obligation. How to deal with the possessions of these people, and limitations on what we can do with it. Included in this point is certainly that we must not harm them, harm their livelihood. If they have some source of income, it's a great avera, a very great avera, to harm the livelihood of any Jew. Mark Gaul said, you are taking away my living, because a man lives from his livelihood, his pan also. To harm the income of this group then it's doubly as great. And therefore a person must be very careful when he's doing business and he's buying and selling and he's dealing with this group. He has to be very careful indeed. I once, I've mentioned before, many times I think, what happened once in the Telzi Yeshiva, that there was a new cook in the yeshiva. And for some reason, there was a group of the Talmidim, of the students, that weren't quite satisfied with their standard of kashrus. And she was a widow. And the complaints they had on her was not basic complaints, but were a matter of hidurim. That she could have done things better and she wasn't doing it. So it had to do with hidurim, mahadrim. And they formed a delegation. And they went to the Rosh Yeshiva to complain. They felt for the yeshiva, standard must be tops, which is true. Standard must be tops. So they came to the Telzi Rosh Yeshiva of Gifter. He heard a few, listened to them for a minute or two, what they were saying. And he became so angry that he just drove them out of his study. And I was standing nearby, and it was Parshas Keirach that week. And he told me, he bodlu mitecho eda arozes. See? What Hashem told Klal Yisrael, that they should separate from this evil group, this is what he told me. He says, Areis tribin an almono from Parnoso with azel chareid. You're going to drive an almono away from her parnosa, from her income, because of such reasons. And he mentioned, he says, these people don't realize that with this they might be forfeiting their Eilam Habo. Now this was a Rosh Hashiva, the new Shas. And if you look through these Inyonim that we're learning, you'll see that he was on target. And from this we can learn in general, especially in our generation where we don't have too many Talmidei Chachomim, the new Shas. And when it comes to wanting to raise standards, which by all means one must always try to raise standards, but at the same time, they could be entered into very serious averus, which could cost them elam habo, of taking parnosa from others, or causing hardship to almones, to widows, or orphans. Included in this also, another ramification would be in Yonei Chinuch, to educate. When it comes to orphans, they have no father to educate them or to look after them. So therefore there is a specific mitzvah on the individual or on the community to see that they receive a Torah education, to see that they receive an education for umnes, that they're trained for a livelihood. Also, the manner of chinuch, the manner in which you teach them, must be different. You're not allowed to treat an orphan who is sitting in your class, be it in a class of Torah or a class for profession, in the same manner that you treat someone else. Many times it's a mitzvah to be tough with students. Right? You must be tough with them. You must discipline them. They must be shown their heretz and authority, and you must put them on their toes so they don't fall asleep, to sharpen their minds. This is a mitzvah. And this you must do with an orphan also. It's even more important with an orphan because he has no father or mother to be madrich him, to educate him, to discipline him. But nevertheless, the halacha, the law is, it must be done in a different manner. You cannot do it in the same way that you treat other students. We'll see what the Rambam writes on these points. Another ramification is bikachelim. When it comes to visiting the sick, is a great mitzvah, very great mitzvah. The Gemara says that whoever can visit the sick and help them and doesn't do it is kilo shefek damim. It's as if he spilled the blood. If there is someone sick from one of this group, then the mitzvah becomes a double mitzvah, because this is bechlal, this mitzvah of how to deal with umloli. Kibud aim, honoring one's mother, honoring the honor that one has to give to a father and mother, is from the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah. We had it last week in the parsha in Aseres Adibras, the Ten Commandments. Kabir es avicha v'simecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do this mitzvah, he will give you long life. If you don't, he will shorten your life. When it comes to honoring a mother who's a widow, now the mitzvah becomes a double mitzvah. Besides the regular mitzvah, you're dealing with a widow. And you have to be very careful not to cause her anguish or harm or aggravation and so forth. This is something that surely must be taken into consideration when we have so many people that leave the country and they leave parents behind. Now this is in regular circumstances, this is something that unfortunately you don't hear many people when they make calculations, should they stay in the country or should they leave the country. You hear calculations of a good job or, for example, a good education for the children or whatever it might be. You don't hear the calculation of what about leaving your parents. That's something that you don't hear too often. And that's a very, very heavy consideration. That the Gemara tells us, the Chazal tells us by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov was in the house of Laban for 22 years, and he told Laban, he was there for 20 years, and he told Laban that I must go home because these 20 years I will pay for. I can't stay any longer. He was there, and what did he do? He worked 7 years for Rachel and 7 years for Leah. In 6 years he worked for Pardoso that he should have something to support his family with. And then it took him another 2 years to get back. And he went there for shiduchim, for marriage, which is a mitzvah rabba, the Gemara calls. Truruvu, to marry and have children is not only a mitzvah rabba. It's a great mitzvah. And he was even sent there by his parents. They sent him. They told him to go. And he also was a fugitive. Esav wanted to kill him. So there couldn't have been greater mitzvah. And what kind of children was Yaakov having? He was having the 12 tribes. So there couldn't have been greater mitzvah. So what did he mean to Laban when he said, I must go back because I'm going to have to pay for these years that I haven't been by my parents to serve them? And because of this, Yosef was separated from his father. Yosef, his son, was separated from him, from Yaakov, for 22 years. And Yaakov suffered the entire 22 years. It states that Vayokom Bonav Ben Esav, his sons and daughters tried to comfort Yaakov, and for 22 years he couldn't be comforted. Usually a person loses someone, so for a year he remembers them, and after the year he's comforted. But here, there was no decree that Yaakov should forget Yosef after a year, and for 22 years he suffered. And that was the 22 years that he was by Lavan that he went away from his parents. There was an additional 14 years that Yaakov went and studied in the Beis HaMedrash in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, or of Ever. For those years that he studied Torah, he did not receive any punishment. But for all of the other years, even though how great a mitzvah it was, so the same thing happened to him. So in general, this should not be the last consideration. This perhaps should be the first consideration. But aside from that, if a person has a parent that's an almana, that's a widow, then comes the mitzvah doubles in size, or maybe even more, because of what we just said. Another aspect where we find a ramification here is l'samcho, to bring them joy. It's a mitzvah, a great mitzvah, to bring joy to all Jews. If you could be mesameach someone with words, there's a chapter in one of the Sforim of the Chofetz Chaim where he brings all the mitzvahs you can fulfill with words, and amongst them to bring joy to other people, chesed, to talk to them and make them happy, make them feel good. There's a mitzvah to bring simcha to all Jews, and therefore we can learn from here that if you bring simcha to a ger or to a yosef or to an almono, it becomes a double mitzvah. And this we find this in at the end of Parshas Re'eh, in Dvorim Tes Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. It states, V'shemachta lifnei Hashem elekecho, ato ivincho vitecho v'yabdecho v'amasecho, v'halevi Hashem b'shorecho. This is speaking about the Yom Tevim. V'asisa chag Shavuos. Speaking about Yom Tev, particularly speaking about Shavuos, but it refers to all Yom Tevim. And Yom Tev, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tev, to make a simcha, that you should eat good things and eat good meats and drink good wines and buy new clothing. And you should bring simcha to yourself and to your wife and to your son, your daughter, your servant and your maidservant. And then it states, V'halevi asher b'shorecho, and also to the Levi, because the Levi was not given any land, V'hager v'hayosom v'alamona, asher b'kirbecho, and also to the stranger, to the orphan, and to the widow. So the Torah explicitly tells us here that there's a mitzvah of simcha besides the fact to be mesameach every Jew, but this group is specifically. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Vov, Halacha Yud Ches. Ukeshu Eichel V'Sheise, when a person eats and drinks on Yom Tov, which is a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment, Chayv La'achel L'Ger L'Yosem L'Almona, he's obligated to also bring simcha and to feed the ger, the yosef, the almono, im shar ha'aniim o amlulim, and together with other poor, downtrodden people. Avul mishenel dalsis chatzere, someone who closes the doors to his gates, his courtyard, va'echel v'sheisu hu bonav ishtai, and he eats and drinks together with his children and his wife, ve'edom aichel u'mashke alanim u'lemeri nefesh, and he doesn't give to the poor and to those who are embittered. Ein zu simchas mitzvah. We would think that at least he's fulfilling part of the mitzvah, v'somachta b'chagecho. At least some mitzvah is. He says, the Rambam says, no. Ein zu simchas mitzvah. It's not mitzvah at all. El simchas kreisai. This is an enjoyment of one's stomach, but it's not an enjoyment of mitzvah. Val elu ne'amar, Zivcheihem kelechem einim lechem kol eichlev yitmu kilachem nafshichem simcha kezu kelein hilohem. not that at least he's fulfilling Simchas Yontif for his family, but not for others. But it would have been better if they wouldn't have fulfilled this, because Simcha zu kelein hilochem, because this Simcha is a disgrace for him. Shenama v'zorisi perish apenechem perish chagechem, because it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu then takes your Simcha and throws it back at you. These are very strong words. This is where the minig Yisrael, the custom in Yisrael, comes to give tztoka before a yantif, to give tztoka to the poor before a yantif, in order that your yantif will not be just for yourselves, but for others also, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers a simcha only when all Jews are being misameach. But someone who brings joy to himself and his family, and to the downtrodden and the bitter ones, they cannot have the simcha. So this is not a partial simcha, as far as Hashem considers it. But this is a disgraceful simcha, and he wants nothing to do with it. So there we see a specific ramification here in regards to bringing simcha to others. So we see that it has a broad scope, and these are some of the many ramifications. I'd like to quote what the Rambam writes, where he summarizes a great deal of what we said in Perek Vav Halacha Yud. Chayev Odom, this is Perek Vav Halacha Yud of Deus. Chayev Odom Lahazi B'Yisayimim V'Almonis. A person is obligated to be very careful with orphans and widows, Mibnesha Nafshon Shfeila L'Ma'ed, because their spirit is greatly downtrodden. V'ruchan Namucha, they are broken. Afal pi shein bali momen, even though if they happen to be wealthy. Afilo amanosi shel melech, even the widow of a king. V'yisomav, or the orphans of a king. Muzorin onu aleihem, we are commanded on them. Shenemar, as it states, kol almona v'yosem leisanun, and he quotes our posuk, you shall not harm any widow or orphan. Beheich noagini mohen, how should we deal with them? Lo yedabere aleihem el arakes, when you speak to them, you must speak softly to them. Lo yineg behen elamina kovet, when you deal with them, you must deal with them in the most honorable way. And if you have, for example, orphans working for you, or a widow working for you, you must be very careful not to overwork them, or not to say harsh words to them. And you must be careful with their possessions, or their income, far more than your own possessions. Kala makniton a machison a hichiv lohen or rode behen or iba bemeinon, whoever makes them angry or sorry or sad or hurts them or works them too hard or causes a loss to their money or their incomes, hareza eva blesase, then he has transgressed this negative commandment. And how much more so someone who will hit them or curse them. So if anyone does any of these things, then he transgresses his negative commandment. What is the punishment? And this love, this negative commandment, even though there is no corporal punishment from Beis Din on it, ain't shame a furish b'Torah. But the punishment is explicit in the Torah, where Hashem says, "V'chora api v'arakti eschem v'chorev," that I become angry and I will kill you with the sword. And then what the rest is, that this person's wives will be widows and his children will be orphans, and with Rashi's explanation from the sages, "Bris koras lehen, mishomar v'haya elam," it is a covenant to he who said, who called the world into being. She calls man shem tzoakim mach mas heim neonim shenemar kim tzok yitzak elai shomei ash matzakosoi, that whenever they will cry to him because they are afflicted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to them and he will take revenge. Bamed varim amurim is man shinei sam letzere chatzmai. Now this applies where someone harms them as above, for his own reasons. But what happens if you afflict them for their good? For example, a Rav, he is tough on the orphan in order that he should learn Torah, or umnes, or a teacher who is teaching him a profession, and he's tough on him, or someone is tough with him, takes a firm hand with him in order to discipline him and teach him derech eretz in the right way in which to go. Harizemuta, this is permissible because this is for their good. We must do that. But nevertheless, lo yineg behen mini kol odom. You must not treat them the same way you would treat a similar student in a similar situation. Eliyaselam hefresh. You must make a distinction between they and others. Bienaleim benachas uberachamim gedelim bekoved, and you must lead them with kindness and with compassion, great compassion, and with honor. Shnema ki Hashem yoriv rivam, because it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fight their quarrels for them. Echad yosem yav, echad yosem aim. There is no difference if someone is an orphan because he's fatherless or he's an orphan because he's motherless. But emosani kroim yisaimim linyan zeh, and for how long are they considered orphans in regards to this? Achelo yiyut srichin laodem godl lisomech olov ula amnom litofel behem, until they no longer need an adult to lean on, to rely on, to support them. They are considered orphans in regards to this mitzvah until they are like all other adults that are entirely independent. So this is a summary of what we have spoken about till now. What is the reason? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take such a strong stand in regards to this group? The reason perhaps can be what Rashi brings in Parshas Re'eh and that mitzvah v'somachto. The Torah states that you shall rejoice on Yontif. You shall rejoice on Yontif, and together with you, together with your household, you shall include your son, your daughter, and your servant and your maidservant. So that's four. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds another four that are not from your household. The Levi, the Ger, the Yosef Malmona. The Levi, the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. So Rashi brings Arba Shali Kenegra Arba Shalcho Bincho Bitcho Vabduch Vamoschi Mato Mesameche Shali Ani Mesameche Shalcho. You have four belong to you and four belong to me. In your household there's your son, your daughter, and your manservant and your maidservant. Those belong to you. And to me belong the Levi, because he has no property, the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. They're mine. If you will rejoice my four, then I will see that your four shall rejoice. So we see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers this group his. In many places it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Aviyam Shel Yisayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father of orphans. He's the father of widows. Now, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem, all of Yisrael are considered sons to Hashem. This is true. But in many ways a person can care for himself. If he's strong, if he's healthy, if he has someone to lean on, he can care for himself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a father to him, but in many ways he cares for himself. But when it comes to these four who are not capable of caring for themselves because of their predicaments, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes a greater father to them. And they're considered in a greater dimension of children to him than the rest of Israel. And therefore he says, Arba Shelcho Keneged Arba Sheli. Those that you are caring for, your children, your servants, so they have a father to care for.
They have a husband to care for. So therefore, you care for them. I'll help, but you care for them. But those that have no one to care for, then I care for them. And I become their father. So this means that when someone harms and afflicts one of this group, then he's starting up with Hashem directly. He's harming and afflicting the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu very angry, where he says, "V'chora api v'harakti." A person starts up with someone's small child, and the father is ready to go to war. He takes out his sword. Well, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You start up with my children, then you'll have to deal with my sword. Now this dimension in Hashem, the Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah. The Gemara says, it's actually a posuk, it's where we quote it in Ekev. We quote it in Ekev of Avta Masagir, which was in Devarim Yud, Pasuk Yutes. Immediately before there, it states as follows, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokei Olakim. Hashem, your Lord, is the God of all gods, Ba'adonai Adonim, and He is the Lord of all lords, Kel HaGodol HaGibor V'Yahneiro. He is so strong and great and mighty and fearful, awesome. Asher lo yisofon ve'likach shechar, He'll never have to bow to anyone, to favor anyone, be intimidated by anyone, or he will never take bribes, because he's above everyone. Now this posuk is speaking of gedulas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says the greatness of Hashem. He is not only a God, he's a God of all gods. He's not only a Lord, he's a Lord of all lords. He fears no one, and he accepts bribes from no one, and he favors no one. He's intimidated by no one, because he is the Lord who is strong and great and mighty and awesome. So this pasuk is referring to the gedulasei shel Hashem, the greatness of Hashem. Immediately following, it states, Eisem mishpat yosem ve'almona. He takes up judgment for the orphan and the widow, ve'ev ger losei shlei lechem v'simlo. And he loves the convert, and he will give him bread and clothing. Now there's a very strange here. We're talking about the mightiest king of all kings. Now what does a king do? A king has a nation to look after. A king of all kings has an entire world to look after. When it comes to dealing with an orphan or a convert, whom lolling the downtrodden, they usually don't come to the king. The king usually doesn't have time to deal with such trivials. He's dealing in bigger things. He's dealing at the state level. So immediately after, it says that Hashem does the mishpat yosem v'almona. He does the judgment for the orphan and for the widow. And he loves the ger, the convert, to give him lechem v'simlo. So the Gemara asks this. It's out of order. So the Gemara asks this in Masechet Megillah. And Daf Lamed Aleph, Rashi brings it, and it says that Hare Gedulasei, Hare Gevurasei, Be'etzel Gedulasei, Be'mokem Gedulasei, Atomeitzi In V'sonusei. Where the extreme strength and greatness of the Almighty is described, there in the same place is described His humility. Something that we will not find by a boss of Adon, by someone of flesh and blood. When we are exclaiming His might, His strength, His world level, in the same breath we speak of His invasanusai, His humility. b'mokem gedul asay shom nimtza im v'sanusay. Now the moral in his sefer in Nesiva Anova Perek Aleph says something very profound here. He says it still doesn't answer though why the two psukim should be put together. Why should they be put together? You want to talk of the greatness of Hashem? Good. You want to talk of His modesty and humbleness? Good. But why should they be put together? He says the reason why they should be put together is because this is the insight into His greatness. The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that He's kolel hakol. He encompasses everything. The average person cannot do that. We find that the average person, the more lofty he becomes, the stronger he becomes, the more limited he becomes. Because he starts to separate himself from the more simple or lower level. The higher level a person rises to, he starts to separate himself from the so-called lower levels. For example, if a person deals with the man of the street, all right, then he can deal with the man of the street. But he won't deal with kings. If a person rises to heights of nobility or of royalty, he becomes a great statesman, like Yosef in Mitzrayim, then he deals with statesmen. He deals at state level. No longer can he deal with the man in the street. Many times it's an impossibility. Many times it comes because he no longer wants to associate himself with that, because of geos, because of his haughtiness. Now people might think that I am so great I cannot deal with people at street level. This is a greatness, this is actually a smallness, because this shows a limitation in man. He's limited. He can only deal with this level and not the other level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited. He encompasses all levels. He is kol el hakol. And therefore when we want to praise and sing out His greatness, we have to exclaim His invisunusai, His humility. Otherwise this is a limitation in His greatness, and this is a drawback from it. Therefore Meisha said, he said, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokei Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God of all gods. And Elokim is a God of strength. Adonai Adonim, He is the Lord of all lords. Okel HaGodl HaGibor V'Anero. Okel also means strong. He is strong, He is mighty. He is fearful, He is awesome. And He is intimidated by no one. And He has to favor no one. But at the same time, but at the same time, He Himself personally doesn't send someone else to judge the cases to defend the orphan and the widow of the ger. He Himself will defend the orphan and the widow of the ger, because He is so great that there is no limitation to Him. So, b'chol mokum shatameitzi gdulosei shom, that where you will find His greatness, you will find His humility, because this is an addition to His greatness, and His greatness is only perfect because of this. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like He handles the greatest deals of the world, whether it's dealing in trading nations, one nation with the other, or bringing great blessings to the entire world, at the same time He personally defends the orphan and the widow and the ger and the convert, and He acts as their father. This gives us somewhat of an insight into this important mitzvah of ger leisene, you shall not afflict the stranger, and call almana v'yosem leis'anun, and every widow and orphan you shall not harm or afflict. and with its many, many ramifications. And gives us an insight into how great this mitzvah is. We see what its punishment is. From here we can learn what its reward is. That someone who defends the widow and the orphan and the convert, he evokes great favor by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because as we mentioned, he has a special eye on these people. These people are his children. And therefore the brochas, the blessing, would be very great indeed.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.